Our Heavenly Father, we commit our lives to you and our days and every minute to your guidance and your grace. Thank you, Lord, that we can trust you with all that we hold dear. We thank you that you can teach us through your word as we feed spiritually to help our spirits to grow stronger each day. Greetings, saints. Our reading is Matthew 26, verse 6 to 13. Meanwhile, Jesus was in Bethany at the home of Simon, a man who had previously had leprosy. While he was eating, a woman came in with a beautiful alabaster jar of expensive perfume and poured it over his head. The disciples were indignant when they saw this. "What a waste," they said. "It could have been sold for a high price and the money given to the poor." But Jesus, aware of this, replied, "Why criticize this woman for doing such a good thing to me? You will always have the poor among you, but you will not always have me. She has poured this perfume on me to prepare my body for burial. I tell you the truth, wherever the good news is preached throughout the world, this woman's deed will be remembered and discussed." So guess what we're doing today? We're remembering it and discussing it. There are other accounts of Jesus being anointed in the Gospels. The one in Mark chapter 14, verse 3 to 9 seems to be the story of the same anointing on Jesus' head. In Luke 7, verse 36 to 47, it seems to be a different one where his feet were anointed and dried with someone's hair, the lady's hair. In John 12, 1 to 8, also anointing his feet and drying with the lady's hair. So it would seem they were two separate instances, or it could be a case where people remembered events differently. I do remember about two or three decades ago, my son and I were in a car, and we saw an accident happening, and I saw the car coming and bashing into the other car, and he saw the other car from a different angle because he was on the other side of the car, and it was swerving and doing other things before it hit the other car, and I didn't see that. So my account of the accident was different to his, and yet it was the same accident, and we were both in the car very close to when it happened. So Cold Case Christianity is a book by that investigator who checks testimonies by people in cases that are many years old, and Jesus' life, death and resurrection is 2,000 years old, so that does qualify as a cold case. And the detective was J. Warner Wallace, and I'm not going to go into the ins and outs of that, but the fact that there are slight differences in the stories could have been different instances or could have been different people remembering the same instance slightly differently. Cold Case Christianity was by J. Warner Wallace. This event took place shortly before the Passover, and it was shortly before the crucifixion of Jesus. So the anointing of Jesus with that expensive perfume, as Jesus said, was preparation for his burial. The disciples didn't understand the whole concept. Jesus did tell them very plainly about what was going to happen, that he would die and rise again, but they just did not comprehend it. It was just not something that they could wrap their minds around. After the event, then it made sense to them because it happened, and he told them so that they wouldn't be taken by surprise by it, they wouldn't lose faith. And Jesus, when he was speaking to Peter, said that Satan wanted to sift them like wheat, but he has prayed for them that they'd be strong and that he would encourage his brothers after he's come back, because he knew that Peter would deny him, but he knew that Peter would come back, repent, and become a powerful preacher where 3,000 responded to his first sermon. That's in Luke 22, verse 31 to 32. "Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift each of you like wheat, but I have pleaded in prayer for you, Simon, that your faith should not fail. So when you have repented and turned to me again, strengthen your brothers." So even if you're going through a tough time, remember, Jesus is interceding for you. In Romans 8, verse 34, "Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore, is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us." So if you're feeling stressed or anything like that, Jesus is praying for you. He's interceding for you. So you're not alone, and Jesus loves you to death, and he's interceding for you, he's praying for you. And here's the proof of the pudding that Jesus is praying for you. It's in Hebrews 7, verse 24 and 25. But because Jesus lives forever, his priesthood lasts forever. Therefore he is able, once and forever, to save those who come to God through him. He lives forever to intercede with God on their behalf. So arise and shine, for your light has come.